You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
with your knife. I'm running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall river.
This call may be recorded.
We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. there's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, should do, must do, can do, and you will do. And you did it. And you did it safely. And the weather was accommodating for you to do it. So we appreciate it. But of course, if it wasn't, you got it done anyway. That's right. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. You get it done regardless of what the situation is. You know, appreciate that. I know we do. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, brothers and sisters, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. And, of course, if you want to do the shortcut, just put into, you know, whatever your server is, if it's Gmail or whoever, whatever, Google, wherever your search engine is, put that information, babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net, and there will be programs that are dated and titled from Time for an Awakening. Once again, this is Time for an Awakening. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Kamal Kamban and Dr. Maria Kamban and their daughter, Nataki Kamban. Black Therapy Central from 8 to 9 on Mondays. From 9 to 10 on Mondays, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Fridays, Wednesday. I'm skipping a day there. On Wednesday from 8 to 9, the Black Farmers Report on Wednesday, 8 to 9. And then on Friday, if it's 8 p.m. on Friday, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And Saturday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Yes, get everything you need. Hey, get out of here with that. Get out of here with that noise. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayemba. Africa for the Africans. That's right. He is prepared once again to take a group of our people to the motherland from April 1st to April 11th to Senegal and Gambia. Then from May 24th to June 5th to Ghana. And then from November 17th to November 28th to Tanzania. These three trips cost $3,800 per person. If you go online to AfricaForTheAfricans.org, everything you need is right there all the necessary paperwork, visas, information, everything you need. You can make your down payment of $400 to your trip and begin to pay on it. So once you've trip is ready to happen for you, you paid on it, you're ready to go, bam, it's happening. Trip of a lifetime. All right. Africa for the Africans. Brothers and sisters, if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans. Habashah. Habashah Incorporated, brothers and sisters. Habashah stands for helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Habashah, right here in the Atlanta area, Habashah Works Program, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. But on the continent, it's the Kashi Project. The Kashi Project, and it has the buildings are put up. You can go online, go and then look at the photos of all the things that are happening. HabashahIncorporated.org is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, basic holistic health, and technology. Brothers and sisters, HabashahIncorporated.org. The LEDGE program. LEDGE stands for land for the environmental development of group economics. Land for the environmental development of group economics. LEDGE program. Brothers and sisters, they deal with the four areas of human existence: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects on 6 countries in Africa, over 172 employed globally, and they have 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the LEDGE Group. If you are a member, you have the opportunity to buy land in Tanzania. That's right, you can buy land in Tanzania and prepare yourself to make that move. Make that move. Brothers and sisters, Abibiatumi. That's Abibiatumi.com. Abibiatumi.com. Brothers and sisters, Abibiatumi.com. Please make it a constant one that you go to for information. Abibiatumi.com. Abibiatumi TV. Abibiatumi. That's right. Abibiatumi.com. Yes, okay. Wadadas. Wadadas Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in Atlanta, located on Ralph David Abernathy, here in the West End area, across the street from Soul Vegetarian, down the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which, of course, unfortunately, is closed right now. And they'll send an email out knowing when they're going to start back up, you know, with all the projects and things that they've done. And, of course, the sanctuary on Sunday for services for the Shrine of the Black Madonna. But at this time, it's closed. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and health drinks and pastries and vegan food on Sunday, on Saturday and Sunday. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia, please check her out in the Green. If you're in the area, check the Greenbrier Mall out. And check out Mama Nia. She has books, postcards, greeting cards, fine selection of t-shirts, figurines, all kind of good stuff for you. Nice, good gifts. But if you're looking for a book, give her a call. If she doesn't have it, believe me, she'll get it for you. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. My brother Gazimde Ajamu with the Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Give my good brother a call at 404-519-8107. 414-519-8107. There is light in the black dot. And, of course, they got that coffee bar established with delicious Cameroon boyo. My favorite. But he also has other coffees and teas and pastries and bean pie. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Okay, in the new Black Wall Street Market, located in Stonecrest, and that's west of where Lithonia is. Excuse me, east of where Lithonia is. Let's get it right. And the Afroletics has a store in the new Black Wall Street Market. They're selling athletic wear with African-centered themes, the Zogons, the Zulus, the Rebels, the Olmecs. Yes, that's, I mean, all kind of good African-centered themes. Yeah. The Herus.
So check out, and you can go online to Afroletics, AFR-LETICS.com. Afroletics. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. Every Thursday night, their Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Us Lifting Us. Every Thursday night. If you want to just call and listen, you can do that because the program is from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. And you can call at 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. And you can listen. And also, you can, if you're in the queue, just press 1 and you can move up and ask your question or give your comment or concern to Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Homeland Village, that's my guest today. It's going to be Brother Abijah, Homeland Village, and gift shop in Macon, Georgia, 2910 Napier Avenue, Macon, Georgia. So we're going to save that because I'm he has a lot of good information. I mean, this place is packed. Go to his website at homelandvillage.com. Homelandvillage and the bookstore.com. And check out all the things that they have at the Homeland Village bookstore and so forth. Okay, Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Brothers and sisters, give my good sister, Shelly Amundset, a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located in the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Sanjay Dash Aiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia has been doing outstanding work with our young people, our children, in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Check her out at Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay Dash Aiti. They're doing great work with education. Students look beautiful in their uniforms and so forth. And then they're coming back with, you know, I mean, they just look good. They really do. I'm so proud of what they have done, what they have accomplished. They look fantastic. Yes. So, okay, let me see if I can find it. Okay, I'm looking for my guest to be arriving soon. And that's going to be good. I'm also looking for Oh, really? Okay. I'm trying to find for Baba Baruti. You know, his piece is coming up this weekend. So I want to announce that, you know, they're coming up this weekend on the 5th. A good program, too, you know. Okay. I don't know why I lose these. I try to put it into a place where I'm making sure I can get to it, but apparently I'm fooling myself. I'm fooling myself. I know one day I'm going to talk, probably on Wednesday. Yeah. You know, See, I'm supposed to have this done, you know what I'm saying? I'm supposed to have all of this stuff done. Because there's a Friday, the health group, and I've been going to those since I moved here. They're really inspirational. The young students do an outstanding job for the health and science fair of the so I'm going to find that before and announce it at the break. Okay, since I can't find it now, I don't understand why I can't find it. But Ackerman Institute, brothers and sisters, if you want to support Baba Baruti and his great work, him and his lovely wife, Inia, send your, make your check or money order out to Ackerman Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. And, of course, you can use PayPal or Cash App. If you use Cash App, put in a dollar sign, Y. Put in a dollar sign and put Y-A-A, Yah, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And make your donation monthly or weekly or whatever it is, one-time shot, whatever it is that you can give, because it's greatly appreciated. Also, too, Baba Baruti is a prolific writer. Go to Ackerman House and check out all his books and AckermanHouse.com. AckermanHouse.com. So, the Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Enye Sesim. January 30th. An economy exists prior to money. There were economies in the world before money was invented. We don't even have to have money to have an economic system. So ultimately, when we study economic systems, we recognize that an economic system is at its base refers to the nature of the relationship between people. It's the systematic way people choose to relate to one another that makes it an economic system, not money. When we lack a systematic way of relating to each other, then we can have money and still be poor. We can have money and be robbed, which is where we are, which is what we are. Robbed. Dr. Amos Wilson. What happens to the quality of life and relationships in a community when borrowed things are either returned in worse shape than when you received it or not at all? What happens to loyalty when promises in whatever form are not kept? Promises broken and kept speak to the character negatively and positively, respectively. When the former occurs on the front line, the disappointment is so much more deeper and damaging because we are few and we claim greater accountability to Ma'at and to each other. It can cause a warrior to wonder about the purpose of their nation-building work if others' personal faults remain uncorrected. Even worse, if we judge the degree to which we are personally required to fulfill our promises to each other, warriors by the degree to which they can retaliate against us for broken promises, we are not acting in Ma'at, and it speaks to the weakness of our character. If we cannot keep the promises that we make to each other as we work the front lines together, then it will not be possible for us to win these large battles we wage against enemies, which will require an unqualified unity. Ashe. Affirm, I operate with an awareness that we are our currency. I operate in awareness that we are our currency. Okay. January 31st. Strong people don't need strong leaders. Strong people don't need strong leaders. Ella Baker. Only weakened people need their courageous individuals to set an example and or make them do what they know needs to be done, since they harbor a deep-seated fear of doing so because they would rather live in the delusional safety and security and civility then die in the process of creating liberty for themselves and their prosperity. Among strong people, every person is a leader, has evidence in their actions and in or out of the presence of other members of the group. Each one individually is prepared to make a stand, regardless of odds, regardless of the number of enemies they face. Even when physically isolated from the community, strong people understand that they are not alone and they're never alone. At one time, we were a strong people, even in the land, even in this land where African strength is still severely persecuted, even by so many lost Africans, even by so many lost Africans. The fearlessness and power of strong individuals at that time are reflected in the likes of Robert Childs, an African man facing a mob of 20,000 intent on lynching him. He stood his ground and sent 20 of the best new Europeans had to offer to the hospital cemetery before the mob was able to fulfill its murderous appetite. Even though these barbarians could not see his ancestors and no other strong Africans were there to fight by his side, he was not alone. He saw, he knew, he carried the rage of millions gone and to come. Ashe. Affirm, I am strong. I am a strong people. Affirm, I am a strong people. Right on to Robert Childs facing a mob. Once again, a lynch mob. Once again, those who constantly prey on African people. Okay. I'm waiting for my call. My guest to call in, and I hope it'll be soon. Let me do this because I haven't done this in a while. Let's do this. Yeah, we haven't read this in a while. We're going to read. My good brother Rinoco Rashidi, who back in August joined the ancestors. He is somebody who I admire, respect, love, became good friends many years ago. And was always a welcome guest here on African Perspectives because of who he is and what he's done. Prolific writer, leader. Here's one of his quotes. History is a light that illuminates the past and a key that unlocks the door to the future. History is a light that illuminates the past. When you are dealing with our history, and it is our history, and you go back and you resurrect these, men and women of our history and incidents of our history, it gives you a sense of who you are and where you are presently and where you still must go. That's right. It is a light that illuminates the past. It is a key that unlocks the door to the future. So in your present, you have that key to unlock the door to our future. Here's another quote that Brother Rinoco did on the Hidden Color series. I can't remember the doctor's name that he quoted, but it's a pretty good, it's a good quote, of course. And he says, what you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself. And what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself. And what you know of yourself depends upon what you have been told. Who's doing the telling? That's why it's a deep quote. What you have been told. We have been told so many things, particularly about us in this society, where the narrative is not controlled by us, where everything that happens in society is not controlled by us. And that's why I maintain that we got to get out of here into an environment, into a situation that is controlled by us. And so we know what we've been told. And we behaved in that manner. That's why we're in the situation that we're in. Because those who have been doing the telling are still doing that damn telling. And we're still listening to it. Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your behavior pattern. And your behavior pattern determines your actions. It begins with what you think, your philosophy. If you think that our men are no good and lazy and shiftless and liars, and you know, then you're going to treat them in that way. But if you believe that our men, if your philosophy is our men understanding the dynamics and what has happened, are to be supported, are to be nurtured, are to be cared for and loved, then you will treat them with support, care, and love. It begins with what you think, and it ends with what you do, your actions. But if you think our men and our women ain't no damn good and don't deserve respect, then that's how you'll treat them. That's what I'm saying. That's how you'll treat them. We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at your feet our future, the builder's spade and shovel, the mason's troll and square, Africa's books of wisdom. Now go and build for eternity. Brother Lester Velt Middleton, a great ancestor. Brother Lester Velt Middleton family, if you go to what he has done, interviewing some of the greats of our people, the heroes and sheroes, the great scholars, John G. Jackson, Dr. Clark, Dr. Ben, Dr. Von Sertima, and many others. The sisters that he's interviewed. Man, it's a great man. And that quote of his, what he's saying is deeply profound because of, you know, when we had our ASCAC meeting on Zoom, and his wife was talking about the great work that he did and the fact that they built the house in North Carolina. He was building that house. He made his transition before it was totally complete, but he was building that house. So that does make that very special. It really does. Lester Velt Middleton, check him out on YouTube. Go to YouTube. Man, you can go to YouTube for everything. Remember, I told you to go to YouTube for the documentary Great Pyramid K 2019. Great Pyramid K 2019. It will tell you who built the pyramids, and it'll tell you how they were built. It will tell you how they were built and the logic behind it and things that we did. I'm telling you, that documentary needs to be seen by us and studied by us, internalized by us, and acted on it by us. Great Pyramid K, 2019. Also, too, The Africans, the documentary that appeared on PBS about 20 years ago, The Africans, with Dr. Ali Mazuri, who was narrating, and I read to you last week, since my brother put that out on Your Black World, Brother Akinyele, Brother Muhammad Bata Akinyele. Yeah. And I'm going to try to get him on the program. But the article dealt with once again, Caucasians changing history, whitewashing history. They don't want to deal with the truth. They can't handle the truth. And we went back historically when the Caucasians put out the bell curve. And when they put out the bell curve, basically saying, you know, this was something that Ernstine and Murray put out. And the purpose of it is that why should we be spending government money for things to help these Negroes, because they're too damn dumb It's a waste of money. They're genetically inferior. They're incapable of reasoning. They're, this is who they are. This is what the Caucasians were saying with the bell curve. Why even bother? Even to this present day, why even spend any money? Why have these programs? Why? They don't benefit. And what you can see based on the history, because that's right. And the reason why is because they don't really want to fund them, and nor do they really want to implement them. And the bottom line for us is that this shit ain't going, excuse me, this ain't going to work. This sugar, honey, iced tea is not going to work in their system. And that's the problem that we need to reckon. We need to reckon with that issue, because we keep thinking we can appeal to their moral nature. We can appeal to them, and then they will operate in kind. Stop it. It hasn't happened. It ain't gonna happen. But yet we still think that we can do this. We think that we can make this happen some way. No, we can't. No, we can't, family. You know? So I maintain that we must close ranks, pull resources, and do for ourselves. That's what we must do. Close ranks, pull resources, and do for ourselves. It's imperative. But I know a lot of us won't do it, because for whatever reason. You know, so I sent my good brother the information. Hopefully he received it. Sent it to him a while ago, and I sent it to him today. So we'll come up to the top of the hour and take a break, and we'll find out what's happening, and then we can talk about a whole bunch of stuff. I know we can. I know we can. We can talk about a whole bunch of stuff. And it's important that we do. Believe me, it's important that we do. Because it is through communications. You know, that's why I said that some time ago, when looking at some of these biblical stories, which are allegories, which of course, they are not real physically. They are stories. The story may be true, but historically it's not true, because there's no history. Okay? Historically it's not true. But the story, in terms of how it plays out or how it reads, can be true. You know, can be true, you know, but, you know, they're not true. And when Nimrod, and the Nimrod's associated with Canaan, and of course we know that Canaan is what is present day Israel. And if we look at these biblical stories, Canaan was ruled by African people, dark-skinned people. They were not. These were supposedly the original Canaanites, because these are Ham, coming out of Ham. And Ham is the one that's supposed to be African. Shem is Semitic people. And Japheth is European or Caucasian people, supposedly, based on these stories, you know. And so what's interesting about, of course, Ham is Ham gets, as an African person, as a melanated person, and let this history play out the way, or let these things play out the way they have in the Bible, which is not a history book, but a fairy tale, is ridiculous. You know, it's ridiculous. You know. So, You know. Because it ain't true. It's not true. And I know that they want it to be true so bad because that's the bottom line to what that's the bottom line to what Christianity wants to purport itself to be. It's historical. Jesus is real. Jesus is true. The stories in the Bible are true. The Old Testament is true. The New Testament is definitely true because the New Testament, of course, gives salvation to all those believers. Because if you believe in the Bible and you believe that Jesus is God, you know, and that he is your savior, you're going to heaven. All those non-believers are going to hell, you know. And then, of course, and you believe in the Bible, totally believe in the Old Testament and New Testaments, okay? Supposedly, I don't know. And but in the Old Testament, you know, in the story of the Exodus, in the story of all of that, it didn't happen because there is no history of Hebrews in ancient Kemet being in captivity. There's no proof of Hebrews. I ain't talking about European Jews. That's later. Hebrews in captivity to Kemetic people. And not only in captivity to them, but enslaving them. Enslaving them. Making them work. Making them build. There's no history. And of course, when you look at the documentary... You look at the documentary, it tells you there's only one group that did this, that built these pyramids, that built these temples, that built these tombs. There were African people, melanated people. And there's one thing that they did it, and how they did it, they poured it. These are molds. All those statues, they didn't have a whole bunch of artisan clipping away. They had their tools, dear brother, would their tools were copper. Copper is soft. You're talking about limestone. You're talking about granite. I'm suggesting to you that you take the time out to go to YouTube and put in Great Pyramid K 2019. The K stands for Kemet. The Great Pyramid K, Kemet, not Egypt. Egypt is a Greek word. Egypt is a Greek word, European word. Kemet is African word. And we need to learn to use African terms and African words for anything that it happens in Kemet. Whether you're looking at a Tekken, which the Greeks called an obelisk, or any other thing that is because of the Greeks, many of us pronounce those words because they've been there, like Egypt. We need to know the African word. I remember a piece that Baba Asa Hilliard put out and explaining why it's important to do that. And he was explaining those different words and how we should incorporate those words. And it's important. It's important. Yeah. So also too, once again, go to YouTube and put in the Africans. Brother Ali Mazuri, the Africans. And that's right. I'm hopefully I try to get my guest on the horn as soon as I can, you know, get him on the horn so we can make it happen. I know I talked to him last week. I didn't talk to him this week. He said he was definitely going to be there. I said, I will definitely send you the information, you know. So. Yeah. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Go to the to YouTube, put in the Africans. And hold on, people. Yeah, so my guest called me on my home number. Yeah, but once again, if I go to Brother Abijah and talk with him about the Homeland Village, it's going to be a very good conversation. I'm glad you're sticking around with me. And so we're going to talk about how important it is that we support businesses and all kind of good stuff like that and what they're doing. Oh, man. Okay. Oh, wow. My good friend, Sister Cheryl Blue, she just texted me, Dr. Carter Drugstore, has passed away. He had caught the COVID. He's 94 years old. He had caught the COVID, and now he has passed away. And I found out that, at least they said that he was going to be doing well and going to be going home. And now, so I'll be dealing with that, and we'll talk more about that. At this time, I'd like to introduce my guest, and my guest is Brother Abijah of Homeland Village Cultural Gift Shop, and you name it. They do all kind of stuff. They got furniture. They got clothing. They got all kinds of stuff for your, you know, body and health classes and, man, storytelling for kids and vegan food on, you know, they do it all. It's a one-stop shop, that's for sure. Brother Abijah, good morning.
Yes, greetings. How you feeling, my brother?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm doing well.
And I do apologize for the delay. I had an engagement this morning that kind of held up a little longer than I anticipated.
Sure.
But I'm happy to be here with you now and just giving thanks.
Ashe, I'm very happy that you're here to talk about Homeland Village. You know, when I was there back in a few months ago when, I think it was August.
Our garbage celebration.
Yep. And my Baba or Brother Umar Johnson, Dr. Umar Johnson was the speaker, did a good job. He had a nice crowd. And,
yes, sir.
Everything went well. I was very impressed with Homeland Village and all. I mean, you know, every bit of area you have, it is something there for you to look at or sit down or, you know, ingest or buy. You know, it's a great place, man. It really is. How long you been in business there in Macon?
I've been here for 20 years now. I actually opened the store in 2001. So this past April was my 20th anniversary.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Yes, 20 years.
I give thanks.
Yes, sir.
It's a labor of love, you know. I mean, what I do in the community is all for our community because, you know, I at the point in time that I started it, I just didn't see anyone else coming forward, you know, to show any kind of love for the, you know, places that we reside in on a day to day basis, you know. So I wanted to project something like that so our children could see, you know, and, you know, usually what we, our youth, they emulate what they see. So, you know, you got to give them something positive in their environment that they can go to every day, you know, as a resource. And that's what builds their character. So that was my purpose for creating Homeland Village.
I say beautiful and gearing it towards our young people, because we need yes. that, and because they need that. They don't get that, you know.
No.
They don't. They right. don't get that. And in fact, many of our young people are oblivious to the history of us and all our great accomplishments and things we do. And that's why many of our young people behave the way that they do, all out of pocket and all
exactly.
and so forth.
Exactly.
You know, because they're not getting
this
information.
We always own them, telling them what not to do and things like that, you know, and just chastising them for things that they don't have any conscience of whether they're right or wrong. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you give them something constructive and positive to do, then you don't have to be concerned about what they not doing, you know, because you building that character where they, you know, that becomes part of who they are.
Exactly. So, exactly.
It takes a village, brother. That's the purpose of the whole concept of Homeland Village, you know.
Yeah.
It's all about raising our youth, raising the our generation of revolutionaries, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why on this program I give I give Homeland Village some shout outs. I give Baba Baruti some shout outs and all the others. Everything on this program, I believe, is gearing us towards self-determination, liberation,
yes.
Sovereignty for us. You know, everything that I make mention, it helps us raise that level of awareness and that level of consciousness that we know.
Yes, sir.
This ain't
yes, sir.
About
yes.
marching and begging Caucasians for, you know, this, that, or the other, you know, or some kind of integration or some kind of assimilation. No, this is for independence,
no.
self-determination, yes. liberation, and sovereignty. In fact, the model,
yes, sir.
The program here for time for African perspective, our motto is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify,
yeah.
unify or die. It's the bottom yeah. line. There is nothing. I mean, this is when we talk
nothing
about
nothing in between.
Nothing. This is the
yes,
end
sir.
Game. The end game for us is independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. That's the end game. Sovereignty means
yeah.
that we control everything that happens with us. That's
yeah,
what it
that's
means.
Right.
We don't look to nobody
Absolutely.
Outside of ourselves. We control
Absolutely.
It. We control all.
Garvey.
Yeah.
Yes. Garvey taught us that, you know, 80-something years ago.
Yeah.
Know? And, you know, and his legacy still lives. And, you know, everything that he told us is so relevant right now to this day. So, you know, it's not like it's something that's hidden from us. You know, we just
right.
got to, you know, learn how to do things that's edifying and that creates our independence, you know. And yeah.
So, hey, you told me that you had an unfortunate situation at the Homeland Village. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, I did. About a month and a half ago, I was in the back in the kitchen working as usual, and I heard this big bang, you know, this big loud noise up front, and you know, it scared me at my wit. And so I run up to the front of the building, and this big old trailer that was attached to a truck ran directly into the front of my building and just damaged, you know, the whole structure, damaged the bust out glass and windows and, you know, the door and all kind of stuff like that. So it was kind of traumatic, you know, it came out of nowhere. And you know, it was
Man.
On a Friday afternoon around about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so it really did scare me out of my wits.
Yeah, well, also too, you're on a main street, you know.
Yes, yeah, I am.
And people can pull yeah. right into a lot, either next door or in front of you or across the street. So, you know, so
yeah, that's true.
And so I'm just surprised that it happened. I'm feeling unfortunate that it happened, because your place
yeah.
is so nice, man. And so, and believe me, brothers and sisters, if you have an opportunity to be in Macon, Georgia, this place you have to go to. If you are in the vicinity, I'm serious, you have to. In fact, you know, I must say that I've been to Macon a few times. That was the first time that I became aware of Homeland Village, even though you've been there 20 years. I even went to a community fair in Macon a few years ago, an African fair in Macon a few years ago. I'm with Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative. And so we had a booth there handing out our information. And do you remember what I'm talking about? They had a fair at a downtown area. It's an open area. They had entertainment there.
Yeah, it probably was sponsored by Tubman African American Museum.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do remember. Yeah, they do sponsor programs like that. So
yeah. And so, but if I'd have known at that time, I would have, you know, definitely made a visit to the Homeland yeah. Village, man. It's, I mean, to me, it's inspiring, yeah. you know, and what you have
thank
done,
you,
man.
You.
Yeah. You know, because you provide
well, you know, in spite
life,
of all our efforts, you know, Homeland Village has really has gotten the exposure that I feel like is really truly worthy of. But it is starting to get better. You know, mm-hmm. actually, when I first opened the doors, you know, I did a lot of TV ads, I did radio ads, all kind of promotion. But I don't think the people here were quite ready for it at that point mm-hmm. in time. You know, mm-hmm. and like I said, it was 20 years ago. You know, and a lot of mindsets then were still kind of closed. You know, but we are gradually waking up. You know, and with a lot of the current events that's going on now, with you know, with the COVID dilemma that we face and stuff, it's kind of bringing people back to trying to focus on what's really important, you know, like mm-hmm. your health, you know, your well-being, your mental clarity and things like that. So it's really, you know, starting to refocus us to move toward more of a holistic method of healing ourselves, or, and, you know, getting better.
You're right. And mm-hmm. that's happening, you know, with us.
Yes.
Not on a grand scale, unfortunately. But it could if you continue to move. But mm-hmm. places like yours and other places that I know here in Atlanta, hopefully from some of the listeners out there, that you have a place in your city, in your locale, you know, that mm-hmm. is a place that you can say, hey, you know, they have it's a good center. It's a good library. It's a good bookstore. It, you know, mm-hmm. it offers a lot of information. It offers things about health. It offers things that we can utilize for the betterment of our people, because that's what's necessary.
Yes,
and it would be great if all those places could, you know, can link up and have some discussion
yes,
around,
definitely.
You know, all the things that we do for our people, man. But, you know, your place is a great place, man. It really is. And unfortunately, I didn't know about it sooner, but I know about it now. And I definitely plan
yes,
to come
yes,
back,
sir.
Man.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
I'm going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to have more conversation. And brothers and sisters, you can join this conversation here on African mm-hmm. Perspectives. I'm talking to Brother Abijah with Homeland Village Cultural Gift Shop. And it's a bookstore. It's furniture. It's clothing. It's jewelry. It's everything. It's your one stop
yeah,
shop.
We want to be the black man's Walmart. but we do it with a purpose. You
that's
know?
Right. You do it a yeah. cultural purpose. That's
a cultural purpose.
Right on.
Most definitely.
Brothers and sisters, uh-huh. you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com. and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us, and we'll have more conversation and talk about Homeland Village, the cultural gift shop in Macon, Georgia. Stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Music on my mind.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Donald Byrd and the Blackbirds, happy music. Makes you feel good all the time. I say, you're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Monday, 8 p.m., 9 p.m. on Mondays, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Kamal and Mawia Kambang and Nataki Kambang. From 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra from 9 to 10 on Mondays. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on Tuesdays from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening, brothers and sisters, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening. And on Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. From 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, once again at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're talking today with Brother Bija with a Homeland Village Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. And brothers and sisters, if you're at your computer, just go online and HomelandVillageCulturalCenter.com, HomelandVillageCulturalCenter.com, and then even from there you can go to what they're about and events and gallery and shopping and contact, all good stuff right there, brothers. I mean, because the Homeland Village, it welcome to Macon, Georgia's premier roots and cultural center. We offer a variety of educational books and on a global African culture and history. We also carry a variety of cultural products ranging from health products, beauty products, aromatherapy, herbs, organic food, and so much more. That's right, brothers and sisters. They have a kitchen in the Homeland Village where they serve vegan meals. Brother Bija, talk to us about it, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you for this opportunity, Brother Ochi. Honored that I could create Homeland Village at the point in time I did. I'm actually a contractor by trade, and I started doing contracting work in the early 80s, and I was started out working with other companies and stuff, but I realized that if I can make these big corporations all this money, I could at least do something for myself, I had to learn the skills, which I, made the sacrifices, to go to school and get my trades and things, and start out being a carpenter, and wind up doing, it's all connected. So, when you're around that kind of work, you keep your eyes open, your ears open, you learn how to do things. So
you're responsible for how Homeland Village is constructed then internally. You're the one, man. Outstanding most work, definitely. Dear brother. Yes, you utilize all of that space, man.
From the star defenders, brother.
Yeah, you utilize outstanding. Yeah. That's great. That's good to know. Now I even have more of an appreciation for what you have done and who you are and what you're doing in Macon, Georgia with Homeland Village, brother. Because you did it yourself. You did it by hand.
We have over 3,500 square feet of merchandise. We have a stage outside. Mm-hmm. We have a decent sized parking lot, and we've been having events from day one. I mean, the first day that we opened, we had the stage outside, and we had an event outside that was, it drew quite a few people, and mm-hmm. It was very cultural, we've been trying to just be a resource in the community from day one. And I actually took my money. I didn't borrow any money. I found an old building that needed quite a bit of work, but mm-hmm. I was patient enough, to take my time and do it all. I actually bought the building in 96, mm-hmm. and it took me about 5 years working out of my pocket, where it took over a year just to clean the place out. So, you know, and then I got started, you know, with the restructuring of, you know, of Homeland. And, mm-hmm. you know, it really has been a labor of love, you know.
I know it has been, brother.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'm loving the response that I'm getting from it now, because the people in the community really are starting to appreciate it with the help that we create, you know, for, you know, helping our city to heal, you know, because Macon really do needs a lot of healing. You know, we've gone through a lot of despair, a lot of disenfranchisement, and, you know, so we need to learn how to be way more independent, you know, and not blaming everybody else for our, you know, for things that are happening to, because, you know, you are the captain of your own destiny.
That's right.
You know, so, yes.
Yes, yes. I tell you, and to me, and brothers and sisters, once again, if you are near the computer, just go to homelandvillageculturalcenter.com and check it out for yourself. And then, of course, you can do a lot of stuff off of from that website. You can go many places to buy things, you know, okay? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You know,
yes,
you
sir.
Can go to buy some stuff, and you can go learn about the other events, the news, the gallery, the pictures of events that have happened there, the books you can buy, you know. So there's a lot of things that, to me, I'm really really enjoyed when I came there and was just impressed by it, as you know, and have been wanting to get you. And I know I appreciate you taking the time out today. I know you're not open on Mondays. You're open from Tuesday.
No,
open from Tuesday to Sunday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. from Tuesday to Sunday. And, of course, I've given the number out, and I'll give it out again before we close at 478-256-1166, 478-256-1166. And if you're in the Macon, Georgia area, brother, this is definitely the place you need to stop by, which is on 2010 Napier Avenue. 2010 Napier
Avenue. No, sir.
No, it's 2910. Oh, yes, 2910. I apologize. Yes. 2910 Napier Avenue, you know. And that's what you need to do to stop by there. Do you have any events upcoming? I know this is a big month. Tomorrow begins, you know, American African,
well,
and African,
you know,
History Month.
Of course, we are Black History Month. We always reaching out to the community, expressing, you know, our loyalty to our people and stuff. But, you know, we have a chess club here where, you know, we teach the youth how to play chess. And we also have a competition where, you know, a lot of the adults come together and we play chess. And we have, you know, drum classes. We have a round table discussion on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. Saturday and Sundays when we come together, sit around the table and just, you know, share ideas, share strategies, share love, and, you know, and just try to build.
Right on.
Let me
inform the community of other things that happens. Just like you said, you have structured meditation sessions, the chess club,
yes.
healthy cooking classes. You offer tennis lessons, story time for the young people, for the young children, story time, homeschool meeting place for those who are into homeschooling. You meet there at the Homeland Village to talk about how well that's going. The womb circle, and then the drum classes, and then round table discussions, which you had just mentioned, and then a periodic pilgrimage to Baba Dr. John Henry Clark's burial site in Columbus, Georgia. I know when I first moved here, ASCAC, we had our ASCAC Southeastern Conference here in Atlanta, and we took a pilgrimage that Sunday to Dr. John Henry Clark's site.
Yes, sir.
You know,
yes, sir.
He was
born. We actually was there yesterday, as a matter of fact. You know, we rode down. We usually go on his birthday, which is January 1st.
Right.
But this year I was a little bit under the weather. But I didn't want January to go by without us making that pilgrimage.
Outstanding.
So,
beautiful.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And it's always a beautiful occasion to go down to pay homage to such a great, iconic cultural scholar. You know, I mean, this brother here, he's done so much for my life and I'm sure so many other people. So,
mine too.
Yes,
mine
sir.
Because I as well, I always pay respects to Dr. John Henry Clark. You know, he's my favorite. I've listened to him, you know, in back when I was about 30 years ago, put these cassette tapes in that I had of Dr. Clark in that Southern drawl. You know, I could just sit down and listen to him. In fact, one of the highlights of my life, aside from my two daughters being born, is I had lunch with Dr. John Henry Clark. That's right. I was at the Indiana Black Expo. Indiana Black Expo. In fact, as I think about that year that I went, because I've been to Indiana Black Expo a few times, but this one particular year, it was to me just a beauty and a magical, because things were happening there, and there were a number of people that were there. Khaled Muhammad was there. Tupac Shakur was there. You know, this one. Muhammad Ali was there.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, it's my idol.
Brother Kabili, me and you, brother, we got the same people because that showed up is mine.
I love Ali.
I do too, brother. I love me some Muhammad Ali. In fact, I had another fortunate thing happen to me. A friend of mine, we went to the Muhammad Ali Center in Louisville. You know, I used to, in fact, I boxed because of Muhammad Ali. I boxed because of Muhammad Ali. Well, also too because the cats kept messing with me and my brother, so
I'm tenacious on that tennis court because of Muhammad Ali.
Is that right? Right on.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So me and him, man, we learned how to box, and he's older than me, so he went into the Golden Gloves, and a year later, I went into the Golden Gloves.
Oh, great. He and Dick Gregory are my two first heroes. You know, I mean, Dick Gregory was one who truly opened my eyes up, you know, initially, you know, and, you know, I love him dearly as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then Muhammad Ali, you know, just, you know, how he carried himself and how he showed so much love for his people.
He didn't
apologize for who he was.
Exactly. But, unapologetic. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, like I said, you know, for me, when he first came out being a braggadocious, you know, calling his rounds and talking his smack, I loved it. I loved it.
But that wasn't who he really was. That was just just really promotional stuff. But who truly was someone who loved his people and never looked down on anybody who looked up to him. You know,
I love it. That's why I loved him even more when he began to deal with the teachings of the Nation of Islam and later Islam and our historical teachings. And so I agree with you. I love Muhammad Ali because of the kind of man that he became and that he wasn't scared. You know, he spoke truth, you know, and it was, he took some punishment, not as bad as a lot of other fighters.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but he was a great man. A great man, I went to his memorial service in Louisville at the Young.
I would have loved to have been there myself.
Only problem I had with it is, you know, I know that he wanted all faiths to be represented, and they were all faiths were represented, and except that they had Bill Clinton speaking last. And I hate the Clintons.
Yeah.
I walked out on his ass. I hate the Clintons. I do.
Yeah.
But because I walked out, I had a chance to see Larry Holmes and shake his hand and talk with Larry Holmes and his wife. But, man, I hate the Clintons, man. But, I mean, you know, it was a beautiful service. But, of course, Lonnie did that. And Lonnie, I have some misgivings because she turned his information over to this one company that also too Elvis Presley got, Michael Jackson got, and of course they continue to put their image out there, their image and likeness out there, so they can continue to make money, which of course I have no problem with, and that's fine. But she signed it over to them, and as a consequence, I'm not sure how they benefit, how the family, Muhammad Ali's family, has benefited from. But you know. Apparently everybody's cool, so you know. But I just had some problems with it, man. Because number one, it was a European Jew, and I'm saying, could not a brother or sister have done that? I'm quite sure they could have, you know.
So,
but we have some call. We have a caller on the line. Want to take a call, brother?
All right. Yes, sir.
Okay, 267-267. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Oshie. I was going to ask, should you let the guest let us know exactly what he's offering and, you know, his products? I got a little lost in the sauce. I was waiting for that.
Okay, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Sure. Thanks a lot.
All right, Brother Ralph. Brother Ralph is from Philadelphia. One of my...
Okay. Yes, sir. How you doing, brother?
Okay.
Homeland Village offer an array of things that are like books. We have history books, health books, spiritual books, books in general about, you know, the legacy and the history of Black people, you know, throughout history, you know, not just, you know, American history. And stuff. We have health and beauty products. You know, we have a lot of healing products here for like Black sea moss, elderberry, and you know, turmeric, all kind of, you know, healing tonics and things like that. We have shea butters and soaps, all natural botanical soaps and totally holistic food. We have vegan food. We have art. We have a lot of art, a lot of artifacts, just African art, you know, from all over the diaspora, you know, and oils, incense, and jewelry, you know. And we are center, so we, you know, we kind of open up the doors every day for people to just come and just be a part of it, you know, just come and relax and be themselves and just take in our culture, you know. So that's pretty much the logistics of what we do here
now,
on a daily basis.
So now, Ralph is in Philadelphia, and of course, if he goes online, he can see things that you have just by going to homelandvillagecentral.com, homelandvillagecentral.com, and even go beyond that to events and news and gallery and about and shop. Let's say I'm going to the shop area right now on from the website. You know, and you offer, of course, the books. You have books. You have the shea butter. You have candles. You have the incense.
Yes.
There's so many more things that you have. You're offering moringa. The moringa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have stones, crystals, and things like that, you know, for healing. And just anything that's going to help us to better ourselves as other people. You know, we just try to make sure that we are always conscious of that we can get better, you know.
And we must. And we must support one another. You know, I know that because of the COVID and many people have stayed away, many people have done whatever they felt was necessary for them to do to stay healthy, and I have no problem with that if that's what you have done. But it has hurt a lot of our businesses. It is devastated ours because we're always one of the last considered, you know, all the big businesses continue to make big money. All those who were big corporations and big individuals, those individuals, multi-billionaires, some of them cast double their damn money. I hate this system, man. I'm sorry. I do. I hate this damn system,
brother.
Man, because it's so unfair. But you got black soap. You got all kind of stuff. So I'm not going to go through it all. But brothers and sisters, I'm asking you to go to homelandvillagecentral.com, homelandvillagecentral.com, and check it out and see for yourself. And from time to time, like I said, I, you know, before you came on, I have an array of businesses and individuals who have things that are going, like, you know, like right here. I don't know. Have you heard that they have the new Black Wall Street Market here east of Atlanta in the Stonecrest.
Stonecrest Mall, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's not necessarily in Stonecrest Mall. There was a Target store. It was a Target store that was separate from the Stonecrest Mall. Once, when you get off on Pleasant Hill, off of I-20 going east or west, depending upon what direction you're going. Let's say we're going east and you make a right onto Pleasant Hill and go down three lights. And at that third light, if you pass Bojangles, you went too far, okay? At that third light, you make a right, and then the new Black Wall Street Market is on your left. And they're doing some beautiful things there. They really are. I'm going to just be who I am, and that's me honest. I wish they would have completed it because they're still doing a lot of work there. And I know I went there. Obviously, their big days are the weekend, so I'm going to go this weekend or next weekend if my schedule permits, because I do go to these basketball games with my grandson, who's a ball player, and so I go to his games. But I really want to go on the weekend to the new Black Wall Street Market to see, because it still needs the development. There's so many things that I want to do there that are going to be just outstanding when it all comes together, and it'll make it a very good entertainment and shopping experience for you at the new Black Wall Street Market. But, brother, you have something going on in Macon, Georgia that is outstanding, and that is the Homeland Village and Cultural Center, and that brothers and sisters need to go to. So what are any upcoming events and anything special for February? Any individual?
Well, usually in February, you know, in the past, you know, we've kind of like reached out to the community, gone to the schools and spoke with, you know, to the children and things like that. This year, we don't have anything solid, concrete that we're doing. But like I said, we always kind of picking up things impromptu, you know, anything that comes up, you know, we just roll with it as long as it's, you know, culturally edifying.
Well, let me say this. I would like to do a presentation at the Homeland Village Den. I have a nice presentation, African Center presentation. Be good for February, and as a big addition to it, I don't know if you checked out this documentary called Great Pyramid K, 2019. Have you done that? Have you seen it, heard about it?
I have not. No, I haven't heard of that.
Okay, well, I'm letting you know right now, the Great Pyramid K documentary on YouTube is a must-watch. Great Pyramid K. K stands for Kemet. Great Pyramid K, 2019.
Yeah, right.
There's a, I believe he's Armenian, who lives in France, who put this documentary together. And I know, since they're Caucasians, you know, you're always looking with a side eye. I understand that, you know, but the way they put it together and present it, it's on. Basically what it says to you, Brother BJ, is how the pyramids were built, how they were built. And equally as important, or more important, is who built them. And what they're saying unequivocally, undeniably, we did. Melanated people.
Yeah.
Melanated people, dark-skinned people, African people. Yeah. We did. Yeah. And how they were built, they weren't built because we were carving them out of stone. No, they were built because they were poured. They were poured. That's why those stones match so well. That's why when you, I don't know if you've been to Kemet, but I've been to Kemet. And I'll never forget driving on a bus going to this laser light program that they had when I think it was my first day there, and looking at the pyramids from as the sun goes down, you know, at dusk, and you see the silhouettes, and they're perfect. They're perfect, you know? I mean, even though now physically when you look at them, you know, the rocks have been exposed, but that's the brown limestone. When they had white limestone, coverings that made those things bling. Perfect. I mean, that's original bling, man. You know? And so.
Weathered some storms.
Exactly.
They weathered some, you know, time. And
yes.
Stuff. So, yeah, they're not going to look the same.
You know, well, that's also, too, that the when Islam swept across North Africa, they took the limestone coverings off the pyramids to build mosques and temples and so forth. So, you know, that's the situation that happened there. And also, too, there was a earthquake that kind of helped break off some of those limestone coverings off the pyramids. But the bottom line is that we did it. It's who we are. You know,
yeah, it definitely wasn't an error.
No, they had no respect for it. That's why they did what they did.
They don't.
You know, they had no respect at all. They broke into the tombs. You know, and what's interesting, man, these Caucasians have broke into somebody's tomb, somebody's burial site, snatched up all their stuff,
and put it in a museum and don't want to give it back. These are some audacious ass son of a boy. Don't get me started, man. But listen, I'm gonna talk to you, probably sometime this week and see if we can schedule a thing, because part of my presentation is on Kemet, and I'm incorporating this new information about the Great Pyramid K 2019. I'm trying to figure out the way I can do that, because that's just some vital information. Because, I mean, for so many years, we always talked about, you know, we sailed down river and went to the quarries and we chiseled the stuff and then dragged them to the shore, put them on a barge, and then sailed up, down river. Rather, we sailed up river to go get it. Then we sailed down river with the stones and then laid the stones. No. I knew that was labor intensive, no doubt, but I didn't realize that the possibilities. So I want you to, my brother, to check that out when you get a chance to, on YouTube, on the computer, on YouTube, you know, and put in Great Pyramid. I got to put in probably as Great Pyramid, and that thing will come up. Great Pyramid K, 2019. It's a 3.5 hour long documentary. So sometimes, you know, you can't sit through it all in one shot. I understand that. And you kind of like, maybe I'll do, you know, 45 minutes this day and 45 minutes the next and so forth. But please do, because what it will show you, what it will show you, of course, is how we develop mathematics. How we develop mathematics. Pi, the royal cubit. The number, the meter, all of these things that are Greeks and Europeans have been given credit for are all ours.
All ours.
They are. They're all ours. They're just a bunch of liars and pledgers, you know, appropriators. That's who they are, you know.
Yep.
And then now, because of their history is so bad, that they're writing laws that you can't teach. You can't teach the real history because it'll make white kids feel bad. You can't teach them about all the wrong that they have done, you know.
Ridiculous.
It is.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to teach our history to us. I don't give a damn. I'm not interested in whether Caucasians get it or not. I really could care less.
Oh, yeah.
I'm interested in that we get it. That's why, you know, you having those classes, the chess club, all these things, the lesson story time, all these things are important. Because not only you just say, okay, come and buy from me, but you can come here and sit, you can come and read, you can have classes, you can have presentations, you know, inside and out. Inside and out, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you can buy
you. Become part of the village, you know.
Yeah.
Because In the village, you know, everybody should have something to offer, and everybody should have, you know, should be rewarded for, you know, for just being connected with such a powerful force, you know, So that's why we here and open our doors every day to try to reach out and get more and more people involved in learning their culture, learning their history, learning who they are. You know.
Yes, I mean, probably one day, man, we could push and promote our. African naming ceremony for those brothers and sisters who may want to, you know, be in a festive kind of situation that you have laid out there, you know, people who want to get an African name, you know?
Yeah. I was actually given mine when I went to Ghana last year, you know, and we had a naming ceremony and, they named me, Kojo Abaka.
Kojo.
Born, I think it's born on a Monday.
Born on Monday, Kojo.
And then Abaka is our firstborn.
Okay. So, born on Monday, firstborn. Right on. Mm-hmm. Right on, brother.
Yeah, that was a beautiful experience. You know?
I never got a name out of Ghana. I think I was born on a Tuesday. I know. I'll see for myself. Mm-hmm. But I know my good brother, Quake, who works with me on this program. He's my engineer, so to speak. But I know I got a name. I used to be the president of our festival in Milwaukee, African World Festival. And one year, many years prior, I got a name. A sister in the Yoruba community in Milwaukee,
she gave me my name. She said, I see what you do in the community, and I have a name for you, man. She gave me Oshiyemi Adelabu. Oshiyemi means leadership that fits him. Adelabu means crown across great water. If you go to the Yoruba community in Nigeria, Adelabu is a very prominent name. And so I when I was given the name, I would use it when we had Kwanzaa or any other our festival and so forth. And so I got it in the '80s, and in 1992 it became my name legally. And it's what's funny is that my brother said, "Yeah, you changed your name." Yeah, well, what does your paycheck say?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's real, because a lot of brothers and sisters who have African names, they didn't change them legally. And so when they do get a check or something, they got to put it in the name that they can cash it, you know, which is a legal name. But, you know, Oshiyemi Adelabu is my name, you know.
It's your legal name.
It's my legal name, okay. You know, because, you know, I believe in self-determination. You know, I believe the right for us to name ourselves and do for ourselves and so forth. And so I just, you know, I did that. I don't expect name changes from us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't need name changes. We need mind changes.
Your
mind is right, everything else will fall into place. You know, right, because you know you should, you know, have an African name or wear African clothes or, you know, think African, do African, be African, and love African. And so you love our mm-hmm. sisters, you love our elders, you love the children, you know, you love our mm-hmm. ancestors, because why? You've embraced it. And so you understand and know the culture. So, yeah. You embrace it. Let me see if I got another caller here. Let me see if he wants to say something. 414, LaRue Ned. Black Laws. Black Laws. Hey, man, you need to get you need to get your book in Brother Abijah's business, man, in Macon, Georgia, Homeland Village.
I was thinking about that, man. I'm in the process of trying to put some more material in there.
Okay.
And redoing it. And in fact, I went to his website like you suggested and printed it out. So he's gonna be on my contact list as soon as I get it done.
Right on. And there you go.
Send him some copies so he can see it. And I went to his Facebook page too. That's a pretty nice place, man. That's very impressive.
Thank you, my brother.
Yes, sir.
And I do look forward to our checking out your book, and I would most definitely be more than happy to support you and carry the book at the store. So,
Well, the name, give him the title of the name, Brother LaRue. Brother LaRue Ned.
Why we shouldn't call our ancestors slaves. And why we shouldn't call our ancestors slaves during the time period when we were in slavery. And that's my point, is that we were in slavery, but we were not slaves.
We never slaves, right.
Right.
I agree with you.
Yes, sir, and it really has a dampening effect on our self-esteem and the drum major instinct, and it's one of the reasons why we fail to identify with our ancestors in America and in Africa, because the idea of our ancestors being slaves also supports the idea that we was savages running around mm-hmm. with a bone in our nose.
are you like that, LaRue? Rocking around with a bone in your nose and a rag up your ass? You like that one?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
But that lays the foundation. So, but I'll get in touch with you. I got your number. I printed your page out and everything. I'll be giving you a call.
All right. I'll be looking forward to hearing from you, brother.
Okay, sir.
Right on, Brother LaRue. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate you, man.
More blessings.
Yes, sir. All the time. And like I said, I've been announcing since I came to your place. I've been announcing your business every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and asking people.
Because
hopefully if they're in that area, you know, but also too, you know, they can go online and look at all the products mm-hmm. and order from online, you know. So hopefully that some brothers and sisters will do that and they will support you, mm-hmm. you know.
Yes, sir.
I know I plan to come down and, you know, after I get a chance to speak to you off the air is to bring a presentation to you, and see if we can get some people to come and so forth, and you know, check out the presentation. Okay. It's an African Center presentation that I do, and I'm adding, of course, that information from the Great Pyramid K 2019 documentary that's on YouTube, and because that further substantiates the information that I'm already bringing. You know, and that's the thing about us that, unfortunately, we have the information, but because we've been so inculcated, we're so indoctrinated yeah, with the Urugu virus, that we can't see beyond that, and there's a fear. There's a fear factor that, of course, that has been instilled in us. And so we're trained not to embrace it. We're trained to reject it. And
yes.
But there's some people like us, like me and you, many others, quite a few of us. Let me use the correct term, because if there was a lot of us, we wouldn't be in this madness. We still wouldn't.
Yeah, I agree.
See, so there's a good number of us who see beyond this insanity. And then we embrace being African. We embrace the love of being African, and we embrace African people, you know. And
yes, sir.
And that's, you know, for some of us, they say, well, that's foolish, man. You know, you ain't no African, you know. You know.
We all are African. Even the Europeans, you know,
yeah,
are Africans, you know, indirectly.
Indirectly,
you know,
they
came
yes.
from us, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Because that's where that's where life began, you know, and that's where the Garden of Eden and everything, you know.
Right.
Mount Kilimanjaro, that's where God dwells, you know. So that's where he put his most interest, was right there in the heart of Africa, you know. Mm-hmm. And it just spread out from there.
You know? Right. Well, Africa is the center. When you look at, they talk about Pangea, if they want to use that description of all those land masses when they were all together before the great continental divides and the shift began to happen thousands and thousands, but no, excuse me, billions of years ago.
Billions of years
ago. So when you look at that, Africa's right in the middle. And that's why, listen, that's why Africa has more resources than any other place in the world that everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and they shown the hell damn it don't want to pay for it.
Dr.
John Henry Clark says, and that stuff is ours. It is ours. And so what I do from this microphone every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday is implore our people to embrace that and for us to go home. I'm talking about Pan-Africanism. I'm talking about unity.
Yes.
You know, imagine if we, you know, open our minds up, open our hearts up, and embrace that. And with the skills that many of us have, we go home and work with brothers and sisters there to build roads, to build infrastructure, to utilize those resources that are there. And we sell them for fair market value. So no longer will we be, you know, pawns in this game. We're going to be players in this game because we got the resources.
Right.
We do. We got the resources. But yet, because, you know,
Yeah, we're going to be the orchestrators of it. You know?
Right.
We're going to be the architect. Africa is calling us every day.
Every day, brother. Yes, it is.
Yeah, and we should really start reaching out, you know, because we continue to let, you know, all the other people come over there, like the Chinese now, and you know the Europeans have done in the past. You know, they want it desperately. You know, and while we neglecting it and ignoring it, you know, they focusing on purely Africa because everything that they need is there. You know,
that's right. Yeah. So I mean, the Chinese, the Arabs, the European, everybody. I'm saying let's us get together, kick their ass out. It is the only place on this planet that we as African people said, that's ours.
This is ours.
Yeah. Go take your ass back to China. Take your ass back to Europe. Take your ass back to Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. That was part of Africa too, though. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is take your ass out of North Africa. I mean, you know, look what happened when the United States
in Europe, particularly England and France, all got together and made a move on Libya. Muammar Gaddafi, who was the president of the African Union, but more importantly, was going to use the gold dinar as a currency. Imagine if Africa could have had that as a currency, and then you would only buy African goods through that currency. Yes, it would have messed up the petrodollar and all that other stuff, but that's why he was killed. So they had a disinformation thing about him, and the people of Libya hated him. The people of Libya wanted to get rid of him. He was a tyrant. He was taking all the... No, he wasn't. The people of Libya loved him.
They did.
They did. The people of Libya loved him. They were all kind of benefits as a citizen of Libya because they used the oil wealth to benefit the citizens. And then what happened? United States, England, France, they made their move. They killed Muammar Gaddafi. And today, it's a damn mess. You got Africans in Libya being neutered, getting their stuff cut off so they can go work for Arabs, in rich Arabs in Qatar, in Oman, and so forth, in Abu Dhabi and in Dubai, because they want them neutered so they don't mess with the women.
Yep, exactly.
You know? It's a damn shame. So it is. It is. It is. And see, I don't trust there is no leadership here. This is a Negro leadership. These are the same people who continue to talk about voting, continue to talk about, I was listening to a program, and I came on the program because the sister on the program kept talking about, about voting and kept talking about how we can impact the system and so forth. And I got on there and said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
That's
insanity. And we have been deeply insane with our love and trying to get these crackers to respect our humanity and treat us with fairness and justice and let us share in this thievery that they've done.
If we hadn't learned by now, if you can't play fair with a crooked mob, then we'd never learn. Because, we've been trying to play that game for 400 years, trying to even get in it. For, 300. And then once we got in it, and to play it, because they always change the rules.
Exactly.
To our disadvantage.
Exactly. That's by design. And I think we definitely need to know it's always by design. I mean, it is theirs, not ours. The indigenous people I respect, for what they have gone through, and to me, I don't want to make no claims on this stuff. This is theirs, but the Europeans have claimed it, and what the European has always done is that he comes in, he takes it. He doesn't come to barter. He doesn't come to bargain. He doesn't come to sell. He just comes to take. He takes it.
That's right.
He took... They took Africa. They colonized Africa. They took these lands. They took what you see today in the world, in Central and South America, and in the Caribbean. The Caribbean, that's what I'm saying too, Brother Bija. The Caribbean's not ours. We don't need to make no damn claims on Jamaica and Barbados and so forth. We went there. And in essence, Europeans still claim those places. Has parts of their colonial aspirations still. They claim them, and we're just there.
Yeah.
Those are playgrounds for Caucasians. They come there, and they sun, and they fun, and you serve. And in those environments, you don't make a lot of money because you have to rely on the goodness of the people who are coming for tips and so forth. Yeah,
the
man.
Tips, that's right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's you right. know? So I'm saying the only place that we have that we can say, y'all get y'all ass out, is Africa. And we have all that we need.
That's all we need, brother.
That's right. Because we can build it up, get the equipment to build the roads, get the equipment to build the highways,
get the equipment to build the railroads for infrastructure, get the equipment to build the energy systems. We don't need no damn gas and oil. Gas and oil done messed up the damn solar. Solar and wind. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just all of it right there. It's all right there. We can be the leader going into the 21st century if we get our heads up out our ass and let Yerugu alone. Let these crackers alone. Mm-hmm. Give them their stuff. Mm-hmm. Let them leave them alone. But you know one thing, though, too. Even when I be saying this a lot of times, I also say we must also recognize that we're going to have to protect that. We're going to have to defend that. When we make a move to call ourselves independent and self-determining and sovereign, we're going to have to defend that because we're dealing with some evil people. These son of a bitches are evil because they wouldn't be, I mean, they wouldn't be if they didn't do what they did.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. And continue to do.
And continue to do it.
Done all their existence.
Yeah. You know? So I know you got some good books that brothers and sisters can learn more about right there. I know you got some DVDs and some CDs, you know, that brothers and sisters can come there to the Homeland Village and purchase. You know, I know that there are going to be presentations upcoming. I hope to talk to you about and getting a date to do one myself, man. I need to.
All right.
Okay, I definitely need to do
this. We definitely will talk.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And
I appreciate what you're doing, brother. I mean, you're really doing a great service to our community. You know, you're reaching a lot of people and you're putting positive, you know, thoughts and images into their head, you know, and that's what we need more than anything. You know, we need to stay positive, stay strong, stay focused, and you know, and get the job done. You know.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do.
Yeah.
I thank you, and I thank you for.
But you're worthy.
I thank you for your vision.
Definitely worthy.
I thank you for your vision, and doing what you did in making Georgia to make the Homeland Village. Just a beautiful place. In fact, as I was sitting there, I was like, "Damn, am I in Macon, Georgia, or I'm, you know, you could, you know, because it's a really nice spot." Like I said, it's on a busy street, and unfortunately, somebody ran into your building. How's that? Have you recovered from that?
Well, I'm about 75-80%.
Okay,
I had to do the work myself. You know, basically, I had retired last year from construction, but, you know, it's something that I probably do all my days. You know, it's always something I had to get done. And, you know, so that was one I had to take on. But it gave me an opportunity, you know, to kind of remodel, you know, to upgrade a little bit. You know, so I'm taking advantage of that. And, it's coming along just fine.
Right on. I'm glad to hear that.
Sure.
Well, brother, I appreciate it. I appreciate this opportunity. Whenever you get a chance to listen to the program and call in sometime or promote the program, because I'm going to promote you. That's for sure. And you deserve it to be promoted for what you are doing in Macon, Georgia. And I'm quite sure you've gone other places, you know, with your goods and services. I mean, because that's how a lot of businesses do it, you know, to other fairs and that kind of thing. But
yes, sir.
Right, dear brother. You got any closing remarks? Got anything you want to say?
Well, I just want people to support any cultural events in their community, and so we can just, you know, regain our knowledge of who we are, and then once we know that, then you know, it's forward. You know, we don't have to be concerned about what other people are trying to do to us. We don't have to say they did this and they, you know, because we're not going to allow them to do that, because when you know the greatness of who you are and where you came from, and so many of us are standing on the shoulders of greatness.
That's right.
And we need to know who those people are. You know, we need to honor our ancestors and get away from all this crap, you know, that we on the bottom of the totem pole, because, you know, we came from greatness and we still great.
That's right, I say. Well, thank you, dear brother. All right.
Thank you, my brother.
All right. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.